We started this morning talking to you about the hungry ear, and we started to talk to you about the importance of hearing what God has to say to you and how many things in life we miss because we don't hear what God says. How amazing all of us would be right now if we had actually heard what God told us and then did it. You wouldn't be actually sitting there. You would be floating over your chair, you know, with lightning shooting out of your eyes. You would be like the most amazing person in the world. But we have a problem with our hearing. And so God has to heal our hearing. And the thing that heals our hearing is when we apply the truth to our lives without bias. The only security we have to not be deceived in our lives is an unbiased attitude towards the truth. Once we become biased about something, then we are in dangerous territory of possibly being deceived if the thing we believe we haven't even bothered to research ourselves personally out of the Bible to find out if what we even believe is actually biblical. Praise the Lord. So if you're going to live in a place where God can reach you and bless you, you have to become a student of the Word personally. You really can't depend on me or Pastor Steve or anybody anywhere to actually be the person that tells you everything, what to believe and what not to believe. Our job is to tell you what we see and what we hear and what we believe. And then your job is to go test all that by studying it yourself and proving those things to be true. And once you decide something is true without flaw, without deception, without a lie in it, then you dive into it, you throw yourself into it, you commit yourself to it, and then you begin to do it. So I think that's really, really important. It's the same with raising children. When I was raising my children, I said, my faith, my beliefs are going to carry you to a certain point. I'm pouring the foundation for your future. You're going to believe what I say because you trust me and believe that I'll never lie to you or deceive you. But there's going to come a point where what I believe and what I've told you is going to have to become personal. And you're going to have to get a personal conviction for yourself about the things that I have told you are true. And until that happens, you're really not totally safe from being knocked over or deceived in some area. And so as you know from this morning, those of you that were here, that God has to heal our ears. And so once that happens, once you begin to apply the truth to every area of your life, and God begins to deliver you, and God begins to heal you, and God begins to set you free, and God begins to open your heart, and God begins to restore your marriages, and God begins to bless your finances, and God begins to show you His divine purpose for your life, and He begins to guide you into the path that you're supposed to be walking. All of that, once all that begins to happen, then you and I have to become action heroes. We literally have to become heroes of action to the world. Praise the Lord. It doesn't do any good to just hear a thing. It doesn't do any good until you do what you hear. Praise the Lord. And we read that out of James chapter 1 this morning. And so now we're going to talk a little bit about that here tonight to see if you're ready to take some action. Look at two people and say, take some action and pay me what you owe me. Praise the Lord. Let's read this. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? Let me start by saying that procrastination is how we steal from ourselves. How many of you have procrastinated in different areas of your life and lost something because of it? You know, when you procrastinate about something, you change your destiny. Every delay distorts your destiny. Every act of disobedience changes your destiny, because when God speaks something to you, the moment He speaks it is the moment to obey it. Once you delay obeying what God tells you, a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, you understand that you're not going to be the same man or the same woman 40 years from now that you are today. There's a reason why God told you to do something right then. There's a reason for that. God knows the future. He knows the kind of person you'll be in the future. He knows the circumstances of the future. If you obey God right when he tells you, then you can have confidence that you are under the timing of God, and therefore you're going to get the results that God wanted you to get. Or maybe God knows something that you don't about something in the future that he needs to protect you from. And by obeying what God tells you right then, you will be actually protected from something that you may not be protected from 10 or 20 years from now, because you won't be in the same place spiritually or as a person. So it's really important to not procrastinate when God has told you something. Can I ask you a question? How many of you have ever been told something by God? How many of you know something right now that God has told you to do, but you have not done it yet? How many of you are in that situation? So a lot of you. And you say, yep, God told me to lose weight, or God told me to forgive this person, or God told me, to start doing this, or to start acting this way, or whatever it may be. But you've procrastinated about it. You've put it off to another time. So what I want to encourage us to do today is to have the fear of God. To have the fear of God. I believe that a lot of people have lost the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord makes a man or a woman depart from evil. And the fear of the Lord is clean and enduring forever. The fear of the Lord is a tree of life and a fountain of life. It's good to know and fear the Lord in a good way. Praise the Lord. It's not terror, but it's the fear, the reverent respect of what God is saying, and that it is very important to do things the way God tells you to do them. Praise the Lord. These four lepers said these famous words, "Why sit we here until we die?" Praise God. How many of you know people who have simply not done what God told them to do? How many of you know people like that? And maybe you were the one actually giving them the message, and you were actually the one telling them, listen, if you don't stop this, something bad could happen. If you don't change this, something tragic could happen. And you know that a lot of people like that. I know many, many individuals through the years that have been told something by God, instructed by the Lord, and very tragic things have followed their life because they have procrastinated and delayed in doing that which God told them. You are here tonight because you decided to get up out of your bed or out of your chair, out of that comfortable place, and come to church instead of staying home. Because of that, something good is going to be deposited into your spirit. You're not going to get out of your TV what you're going to get here. You're not going to get out of your bed what you're going to get here. Even if it feels better, you're not going to get really what you need out of any of those things. Men die every day in their beds. Women die every day watching TV. But here, where we have the Word of God and the opportunity to hear something, we need to put ourselves in the right frame of mind. And this is the right frame of mind. Your expectations determine your encounters. If you have an attitude of expectation, you will have an encounter with God, and something miraculous will take place. Every good thing that has ever happened in my life, it has happened because I chose to do something. Praise the Lord. I didn't sit back and think about it forever. I didn't sit there and dwell on it. I didn't just think, oh, I really have a desire to do that. Isn't it interesting, men, how our wives do not give a flip about what we intend to do? They don't care that we intend to change, or we intended to fix the door, or we intended to do whatever. They don't care about that. They only care about our actions, because man judges man by actions. And the only thing that counts at the end of the day in heaven is not what you intended to do, but what you actually did. You're not measured by your intentions. You're measured by your actions. Praise God. So look at two people and say, you need to do something. Pull out that wallet and give me the money you owe me. Praise the Lord. So in 1 Samuel 17 and verse 51, let's look at some people who became action heroes. How many of you believe that we need action heroes in our country? How many of you believe we need action churches in our country? That churches that leave a footprint, churches that leave a handprint, men and women that leave a handprint in somebody else's life. I'm so grateful that when I was 17, a cheerleader gave me a Bible and told me to read it. That action changed who I am today. I wouldn't be who I am today, doing what I am doing today, had she not taken the action of pulling that Bible out of her purse and handing it to me and telling me that I was a moron and had mental and emotional disorders. But that action changed my destiny and it changed my life. I took what she said, that ragged, beat-up book with no cover, sat under a tree and read it, and reading 1 Corinthians 13, the words were like fire going in my body and began to actually cleanse me of hatred and bitterness. And I, being totally ignorant of spiritual things, didn't realize I was being converted. I was being regenerated. I was being born again. I was coming to life. My spirit was being resurrected. I was becoming a new creature. And old things were starting to pass away and everything was beginning to become new. I didn't know that, but I felt that because of an action. Praise God. Everything great that's going to happen in your life is going to happen because you refuse to sit and you decide to stand up and go do something that God has told you to do. How many people would not be in church, saved, loving God, doing the will of God, had not some saint of God, some servant of God, obeyed what God told him to do and went over there and told that person about Jesus Christ, or went over there and brought food over to that woman, and then out of love in days and weeks and time led the whole family to Jesus because of actions, not intentions. And of course, kill procrastination because it will assassinate your destiny. Praise the Lord. Have you ever been mad at anybody? How many have ever been mad at anybody? I mean, just really mad at them. And you actually got to the point where you didn't like them. And you didn't ever want to talk to them again or see them again. How many have ever had those feelings? Have you ever had the feelings where it was beyond that? You didn't like them, you didn't want to talk to them, and you now wanted to hurt them, kidnap them, maim them, or take them and bury them somewhere? How many have ever had those kind of horrible things? Not here. But where I come from, that is a natural thing. But instead of doing that when you see them, instead of doing that, something spiritual takes over. Something supernatural takes over, and you do the opposite of what you feel. You go over there and you hug them, and you tell them you love them, and they melt in your arms, and all of the lies of the devil explode right underneath your arms, and all of the negative feelings fly out the window. They apologize, they cry, and everything is healed, and everything is fixed, because somebody was big enough to take an action against their emotions and do the right thing and get the right result and change the destiny of the entire family, rather than leave a wall between two people that could have just stayed there for years and years and continued to grow stronger and stronger and bigger and bigger. Praise God. So these lepers took an action. They got up. Everybody's dying. There's a famine. They got up. They went over to the enemy's camp. And the enemy was all dead. Everybody's gone. They'd run away. And they left all the food there and all the gold and silver. And they just collected everything, because actions unlock your inheritance. If you will take an action, you will find an inheritance of some sort. Praise God. If you get up tomorrow and tell somebody about Jesus, a total stranger, it will unlock a piece of your inheritance, because it will change your personality. Instead of being a shy person, you will not become bold. It doesn't matter if they even get saved or not. The fact that you took the action will free you from the fear of taking the action. And then you'll start taking the action over and over again. And pretty soon you'll be bringing people to church. And you'll be bringing 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 people to church. And pretty soon you'll just have an entire ministry of getting people who are lost to Jesus. And what a ministry to have in your life. Praise the Lord. Or we can let a month go by, or a year go by, or 5 years go by, or 10 years go by, and in that entire time, we have not changed one life. We have not affected one person. We have not touched one individual. The eternal life that we have living in our lives, the Jesus we have inside, we have not passed him on to anybody, because we many times live under the power of our fears and intimidations. Take an action and watch God release an inheritance into your life. Praise the Lord. Grab somebody and say, give me something, and I'll believe what the preacher's saying. Praise the Lord. David takes an action, and here it is. So he ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword, drew it out of his sheath, and killed him, and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their mighty champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and Judah rose up with a shout and pursued the Philistines as far as Gath and the gates of Ekron. So the wounded Philistines fell along the way from Sarium as far as Gath and Ekron. So there is a victory because one boy, one unqualified boy, took an offense at the words of an ugly, vile, cussing, unbelieving giant and said, who do you think you are? I may be a shepherd boy, but I have the living God in me, and I've already killed the lion. I've already killed the bear, and my God will give me the power to kill you. And he took action, even though he was unqualified, and God gave him power and strength and might, and he took down the giant, and a defeat was turned into a victory. When you take action, you change your future. Praise God. When you take an action, you change your destiny and the destiny of your home, your family, and the people that believe in you. Praise the Lord. Anytime you procrastinate, you lose something. And if you know, if you're aware of things God has told you to do in your life and you haven't done them because you procrastinated, you've realized you've lost all that. And now you're going to have to believe God for a quick work and a supernatural work to try to recover everything. And that may or may not happen. Praise God. So God has told you something. He's speaking to you right now. He's told you something to fix, an area to adjust, something to give to somebody, a personality trait you need to get rid of, a lifestyle habit that you need to change, a belief that you need to act on, some kind of spiritual habit you need to begin to develop, praying, studying, talking to God, worshiping, singing, blessing your food, not watching TV so much. Whatever it is that God is telling you, take action and become a hero to your children. Become a hero to your family. When I got saved, I was raised in a Catholic family. So none of us are born again. We're not Christians. We don't know Jesus personally. We've never invited him to become our Savior. We've never invited him to come and live in our hearts. We don't understand that. We're not taught that. We don't know that. I grew up in a Roman Catholic home, so we had Mass in Latin. So not only do I not understand what's being said, I don't know what's going on. So my little sister would go to church and simply play games while the Mass was going on, bobbing heads, basically, whoever fell asleep first. We would try to pick the person, and so on and so forth. Although as I grew a little bit older, I did like the smell of the incense and the kind of wardrobes and things. But when I met Jesus, when I finally found Jesus, I hadn't even been a Christian but a few days, and I didn't know I was a Christian. But I just went and started telling people what had happened to me. And just that one action, without any kind of theological training or seminary training or anything, just that action, all kinds of people started coming to know God just from me telling them what happened to me. Just that one act. Do you know the power that you have as a man who knows God and the power that you have as a woman who has been transformed by Jesus, not transformed by a ritual, a religion, are accustomed, but transformed by a person that you personally know as your intimate Lord and Savior who loves you and who you know and who you have fellowship with. Do you know the power you have in just having a testimony? Just being able to tell somebody, I was once an alcoholic and Jesus Christ set me free. I was hooked on drugs and I have been delivered. I have been free for 25 years or I've been free from 35 years. I used to hate and beat my wife and do all kinds of terrible things, and God set me free, not from the wife, but from the beatings. Praise the Lord. I used to beat my husband every day. I beat him and beat him and beat him, and then Jesus gloriously saved me. Praise the Lord. In the days we live, it's kind of switched now. Now the women are beating the men. Praise the Lord. It's a crazy world. The power you have in having a testimony. But what is, how sad it is to be a Christian without a testimony. To not be able to tell anybody anything God has done for you. To sit next to a lost person and not be able to give them hope. To sit next to somebody on a plane and not have an answer for them after 20 years of being a Christian. Or 30 years or 40 years. Something is wrong with that. There's something not loving about that. It's not okay. It's not okay. We need to become heroes of action. Praise the Lord. I'm not talking about doing things to save yourself. I'm talking about doing things to be worthwhile. It's one thing to be saved and sanctified, but it doesn't help if you're useless. Praise the Lord. Don't feel the love on that. So I'm going to go over here and talk to myself. Fabulous preaching, Ivan. Fantastic. Keep it up. Saved, sanctified, and useless. I love that. Okay. So David took action. He cut the head off of Goliath, and he started a revival. That's what will happen when you take action in your family. I get saved at 17. I come home and tell my mother what happened to me. Long story short, she stops talking to me for 3 years. My brothers think I'm crazy. My sisters think I'm crazy. I have 9 brothers and sisters. Now, all these years later, everybody's saved. They all get saved. Some of them have died and gone to heaven. They'll be waiting there for me. My mother's in heaven. My grandmother is in heaven. Because the night before my grandmother died, I went to the hospital and said to my mother, I'm not leaving here until I can talk to my grandmother and get her saved. I don't want her in hell. And you know what? I sat there until she came to. When she came to, I said, Grandma, it's your grandson. And I led her to Jesus before she died. I led her to Jesus. That night, she died and went to heaven. But I could have stayed home watching TV. Praise the Lord. You could fix your marriage. You really can. If you'll just take action. Do something that will heal your marriage. Praise the Lord. Am I by myself? Do I have any help at all tonight? Is anybody going to act like you're saved? Can I have any noise from anybody? Because you would do more at a basketball game than you're doing for me. I need you to carry me right now. I need a little help. I need some shouting. I need a little noise. We're not doing it out of some religious thing. Isn't that normal? Isn't it normal to shout? If somebody gives you $1 million, you shout. If your cancer disappears, you shout. If your baby is saved and they don't get run over, you shout. I mean, there's emotional response to victorious activity and blessings from heaven. And all of us ought to be shouting about something. Unless we're saved and useless and are not doing anything for God, then that is a different thing. Then, of course, you're under conviction, and silence is the only proper response at that point. Praise the Lord. Unless you have an intention of not adjusting when the Holy Spirit tells you to. Praise God. I need help. You need help. We're going to get it this week. Are you listening or are you hearing? Praise the Lord. Remember, the evidence of God's presence is change. The way you know that God is involved in your life is there's a perpetual changing going on, and you are becoming more and more Christ-like because God is in your life. You're getting farther away from the devil and closer to God. Praise the Lord. Some of us are stuck in the professionalism of Christianity. We know the language. We know how to behave. We know how to say things. But it's what we're like on the inside that God is reading. Our insides are the book that God reads. Praise the Lord. So it's real important not just to get delivered, let's say, from verbal cussing, but to also get delivered from mental cussing. Or just act innocent like nothing applies to you. And that works too. Praise the Lord. Then you fool some of the people. But of course, God has different kind of eyes, doesn't he? He always sees the truth. Praise the Lord. Who is ready to get blessed by God? Take action. Who's ready to have something change? Take action. Who's ready to watch your finances change? Take action. Praise the Lord. That's how it happens, and that's how it works. So our actions define us in heaven, and if we do the if, we get the it. This is the important thought. Think about this for a second. Everything God wants to bless you with normally has a condition on it. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. Do you see what I'm saying? Everything in life requires our cooperation. Very few things happen to you without you being involved in that event. Praise God. Even getting saved requires an action of yours. Jesus did everything you and I cannot do. He died on a cross. He lived without sin. He lived perfectly. He obeyed the Father, did the will of the Father. He went to the cross. He died on the cross. He was crucified. He was buried. On the third day, he was resurrected. And because of that, all men, all women on earth of all time have a chance to get saved and go to heaven. But not everybody does, because not everybody chooses to give God permission to save them. That's why when you get saved, you do have a part in getting saved, ladies and gentlemen. And that is, you've got to give God permission to save you by surrendering to his will for your life. Otherwise, God would get everybody in heaven if it wasn't up to anybody to do anything. You can't do anything to save yourself other than surrender to God's plan for your life. But you do have to do that. And that's what we're accountable for all our lives. Praise the Lord. I know people that were Christians that are now Buddhists. This day are Buddhists. And all other kinds of crazy things. They decided not to follow God. They made a choice. We have a free will. God never forces anybody to do anything. Right? Why would you be accountable for something that you didn't even have anything to do with? Yeah. Why would you be accountable? It wouldn't be fair. It would be a sin on God's part to send some people to heaven and some people to hell, and they have nothing to do with it. What? What kind of foolishness is that? That's how it works. You need to take the right action. Any action is an action. Inaction is partnership with your destruction. Righteous action is partnership with God's blessing for your life. Praise the Lord. I get angry, but I choose not to express it. And I choose to apologize to God and to repent. And so I get the blessing. I get angry and I choose not to repent and I kill everybody. Do you understand? One of them's going to put me in prison. The other one's going to put me in paradise. Be doers of the word, not just hearers. Praise God. I have found the secret of happiness at home. It's spelled W-O-R-K. I married a German woman. My choice. I was ignorant at the time, but it was my choice that she was going to be a workaholic and just love work and just believe in work. I forgot that her mother, when I first met her, I found her on her knees scrubbing the steps outside the house. And I should have known right then. Praise the Lord. These people are crazy. They just believe in working all day long. But praise God. Once you discover the secret, then you got to kill your flesh that wants to relax. Look at two people and say, I'm like you. I'm into that relaxing thing. That's the Spirit of God. But the relaxers never do anything. They don't change the world. Right? It's only the doers that change the world. That's why I get you people from Pennsylvania to come to the orphanage, because I give you the hardest work, the hardest task, because I know that you will die trying to finish. I know this from 25 years of experience. Say, Mike, go do that. And he'll die. He'll kill himself. He'll kill you. Everybody dies. But you're all the same. I look at you to see if anybody's dying, and you're all, ha, ha, ha. It's a very interesting thing. But things get done. The world changes. Doers. Action heroes. Praise the Lord. Your children don't want a lazy bum of a father. They want a man of God who reads the word. They want a man who teaches them the word. They want a man who says, let's go knock on doors and get people saved. Let's go lay hands on the sick, son. I want you to prophesy, daughter. I want you to speak this. That's the blessing of it. That's why I have, by the grace of God, have all my children preachers now. 2 weeks ago, I'm preaching in Tanzania, Africa. I'm doing a crusade there. My wife is preaching in Kenya on the same Sunday. My daughter Kendra is preaching in Colorado. My daughter Bethany is preaching in Guatemala. My son is preaching somewhere else, and my other daughter is in Australia. Everybody's preaching on the same Sunday on a different continent. Holla, holla, la, 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 la. That's what I'm talking about. Praise God, because that is not an accident, ladies and gentlemen. That is not an accident, because I already preached with my grandson his first sermon. I got him to preach it. He's 7 years old. I said, Ethan, are you ready to preach the first sermon? He said, I'm ready, I'm ready, Papa. Let me preach. And so he gets his message, gets it all ready, and he preaches a little message out of Proverbs. If you open your mouth, you'll ruin everything. And praise God, it went over really well with the congregation. Praise God. So, if you do the if, you'll get the it. Everybody here has dreams. How many of you have dreams? Right? For your life. Do you think those dreams are going to come to pass sitting? No. They're going to have to come to pass with an action. If you want to be an author, you're going to have to write something. If you want to be an evangelist, you're going to have to save something. If you want to be an apostle, you've got to build something. If you want to be a prophet, you have to prophesy something. If you want to be a pastor, you have to shepherd something. If you want to be a man of God, you have to God something. You understand what I'm saying? Anything you want to do for God requires an action. And anything you want to become requires a godly action. So let's take action and let's start doing something, like they did in the book of Hebrews. Praise the Lord. Joseph took action and ended up ruling the whole world. Noah took action and saved his family. Daniel took action and was promoted to a position of power. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego took action, and they changed the entire atmosphere of the government of the country they were involved in. David took action and changed the destiny of Israel. And that's the way that it happens. Praise God. And what shall I say further? For time would fail me to tell you of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets. And look at all the things. These are actions. By the help of faith, subdued kingdoms. Praise the Lord. How many of you would like to subdue the kingdom of the devil over your family and wreck all of the power of the demonic influences that have ever affected you, affected your dad, your mother, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, and the diseases and the curses and the sicknesses, and break those off your children and break those off your grandchildren and declare to the whole world that you are not under a curse, that you are blessed, and your children shall be blessed and your grandchildren shall be blessed, because you as a man or you as a woman take action and decide to drive the devil out of your life in the name of Jesus, through the blood of Jesus, and through the power of God's holy word. You take action. You don't just sit there, but you take action. A sitting church cannot change the world. A sitting church cannot change the world. Only a running church can change the world. Praise God. If you have a father on fire and a mother on fire, you'll have children on fire. If you as parents are sleeping, your children will not only sleep, because whatever you do, they get a double portion of, good or bad. Praise God. Who would like to pass on an inheritance to your sons and daughters that is a good one? Because you don't want to be passing chains to your children. Praise the Lord. So you take an action and you kill your old flesh. You crucify your selfishness. You crucify your pride. You crucify your anger. You crucify your laziness. You crucify your criticism. You crucify your fear. You crucify those things. And taking those actions removes those things from your children's inheritance, because you break the chain. A lot of people sometimes find fault with some of us who do not believe in drinking, especially nowadays when a lot of preachers are doing it. And, they say, I don't know why. Why? What's the problem with drinking? I said, well, if you lose family members because of drinking, you're not going to want to drink. If you watch people in your own home beat the living daylights out of each other or beat you up, then you're not going to want to do that. Praise the Lord. And so my children growing up, I told them, I've broken the curse of alcoholism over this family, and so has my wife. So we will never touch alcohol, not ever. It doesn't make us holier than people that do, but it makes us freer. We are freed from the ability of Satan to reach out and touch us in that area. Praise God. Doesn't make me holier than anybody. It just makes me freer, because I don't have the poison and the potential of destruction at my door. Right? Doesn't the Bible say sin is ever crouching at the door? Praise the Lord. Okay. So, who by the help of faith subdued kingdoms and administered justice, obtained promises. I mean, think about that, just obtaining a promise. How many of you have a promise that God gave you that you haven't obtained yet? And who wants to obtain that? Say, I've got a promise from God. Let me see how many of you say, I have a promise from God. How many of you have a promise from God in your body, for your body? You say, you know, there's something that God promised to heal me, and I'm believing for the manifestation. Or some other area of your life, and you're believing God for him to heal you in that area. God keeps his promises, but requires our cooperation sometimes to bring them to pass. Praise the Lord. I was talking to a gentleman, and he was sick in his body with a particular problem. I told him what to do. I said, if you'll do these things, the problem will disappear. He said, really? Yep. So he did it, and in, I think, 6 weeks, the problem was gone. Totally gone. Out of his body completely. He's never gotten it back. Just by taking a few steps. I only learned that because I had read a book about it. And so I just told him what I read about in that book. He went and did it, and actually, just by doing that, corrected his own physical body. Praise God. Actions. They're all waiting there for us to grab them and change our destiny and make our lives beautiful. Praise the Lord. Some of you, for example, maybe God is telling you to fix the way you talk because you complain too much. Now, I know probably none of you complain. Right? No complainers here? It's terrifying how much complaining goes on in one day. I mean, the world is filled with it. Imagine if all Christians didn't complain. The houses would be a glorious places. Children would have a whole different mindset about life. There would be no spoiled children. And everybody would appreciate everything, because we'd spend our lives in gratitude for what God has blessed us with instead of complaining for what we do not have. Wow! What an amazing thing just to be grateful for stuff. Who can be grateful right now? Just lift your hands and thank God for something. Just look up and say, thank God that I live in America. Thank God for my job. Thank God for my life. Thank God. And just decide that you're not going to be a complainer. You're not going to be a fault finder. You're not going to be a murmurer. You're going to be somebody that appreciates your life and appreciates the fact that you have been blessed by God. You're some of the most blessed people I know. I don't know why you'd ever complain. Do you understand you live in Pennsylvania? Where I look forward to coming to every year just so I can get in my car and drive out into the countryside and just smell things. But you guys live here, so it doesn't mean anything to some of you, and you take it for granted. But to me, I don't take it for granted. Praise the Lord. I appreciate. I have to turn a paradise. Every place I go to, I have to find a way to make it a paradise and make it my personal altar with God wherever I'm at. And let me tell you, there are some places that are really hard to do that with. I have to close my eyes. But Pennsylvania is not one of them. Praise God. All right, look at three people and say, you really need to pay me money right now. Because Brother Ivan is abusing me. So the list goes on. And I'm going to come towards the end of the message tonight. And then I'm going to begin to minister to people. But let me say this about becoming an action hero. You have people in your life who look at you. They look at you. And they know you're a Christian. They know that you believe in Jesus, and they're looking at you. And when they look at you, they should be inspired to want to give their lives to God. They shouldn't want to run away from God and say, if you are what I'm supposed to become, I should serve the devil rather than God. Because you are one of the meanest people I have ever met. Or you are lazy, or you are perverted, or you are this, or you are corrupt, or you are, you know, disconnected, or you are just off on your own. There's no love for mankind. Whatever that is, today is the acceptable day for changing. And let me say to you how God told it to me. Change is the only acceptable apology. You don't have to cry and tell people you're sorry all day long. Just change. It's a sufficient apology is to become a different person in the area where you torment people. Praise the Lord. I know this sounds a little crazy, but I have more liberty with some people than I do with others, depending on how close I am to people. So I have some friends that I'm real close to, and I can just tell them exactly how the cow eats the cabbage. So I'm with one of my preacher friends, and he hadn't taken a bath in about 3 days. And we're in a foreign country, and I think he's scared to. And finally I said, you know, you smell like a pig. He goes, what? I said, you smell terrible. You're killing me. He said, well, I'm scared to shower. I said, please do something. My God. But you know, you can't say that to just anybody. Their feelings would get hurt. He didn't have his feelings hurt. He laughed about it. His own daughter told him. She was on the trip too. I was with another friend of mine, and he just zoned out for hours at a time. I said, do you realize how self-absorbed you are? Huh? What are you talking about? I said, you just zoned out. You just took off for hours at a time. We're here. Talk to us. But you can't tell that to just anybody, but to somebody who trusts you and who wants you to talk to them like that, then you can help people. See, if you don't want to be helped, then there's no one that can reach you. If you're going to get offended at people telling you the truth, you can never become what God wants you to be. Because to become what God wants you to be requires a great deal of correction. You read the Bible and you get corrected. You get encouraged. You have all levels of stuff you need every day. Praise God. I'm going to come to the end by just simply saying, these words, and that is that Jesus was the greatest action hero of all time. You did not find Jesus procrastinating, right? You didn't find Jesus hearing something and saying amen and then not making any changes or adjustments. Praise the Lord. He made whatever he had to do, he did it. It says he learned obedience through the things which he suffered. Hebrews 5:7. He learned obedience through the things he suffered every day. He had to submit himself to two people who did not know one tiny kajillionth as much as he did. But he just did it because his father wanted him to do it. Praise God. What is God telling you to change tonight? What is God, put my music on, what is God speaking to you about? What area of your life does God need to change? I know what I need to change about. I know what God has spoken to me about. Praise the Lord. I know where my battles are at. The question is, we don't want to come to church and acknowledge something and do nothing about it. Let's do something about it. Now, tomorrow night, I'm going to minister on strength for your journey. How do you stay strong in all the things that happen in your life? How do you remain strong and encouraged? Because you're going to need to stay encouraged all the time, no matter what's going on. And I have learned a few secrets in 40 years that keep me encouraged every day. You have to learn how to be strong and stay encouraged so that you're not discouraged by anything going on around you. But for tonight, we need to make adjustments. Praise the Lord. We need to make adjustments. Turn that up a little bit. An adjustment is when you choose to line up your life with the will of God. That's an adjustment. You just say, you know what? This area of my life is not in tune or in line with God's will for my life, and I want to make that adjustment. I want you to close your eyes for a minute. And I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to begin to talk to you. And I'm just going to be led by the Holy Spirit on how I do things tonight. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to be led by God. As you're sitting there, I want to mention this. I want to say this to you. God cannot heal what you conceal. He can only heal what you reveal. Let God see your heart so that he could touch it and change something.